This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Triad Stage Upstage Cabaret in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. And for many people, Thanksgiving means turkey and gravy and stuffing and, of course, family and friends. But for the chef, it also means long hours in the kitchen, lots of stress, and very little sleep. Stephanie Tyson and Vivian Joyner are co-owners of the award-winning Sweet Potatoes restaurant in Winston-Salem. Stephanie has published a number of cookbooks, and recently they've opened a second restaurant in Winston, Miss Aura's Kitchen. And for them, figuring out how to keep things simple at Thanksgiving has been a learning process. They are both here to help us get ready for the holiday and offer some helpful tips. Stephanie and Vivian, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Stephanie, here you are, the founder and chef at Sweet Potatoes Restaurant. What was Thanksgiving like for you growing up?
It was a little different in that my grandmother usually did most of the cooking, and she had a tiny little apartment, so I don't know where all this food came from. The little stove, little apartment stove, but she had all this food. My mom cooked if she had to, but she wasn't she wasn't really that interested in cooking. Mm-hmm. So we would have Thanksgiving at her at our house sometimes, but more often than not, we would actually go to my grandmother's apartment, and so we would eat on the TV dinner trays, you know, and the food would just be all this food, and I just have never figured out
like what kind of food
where it came from. Too much food.
Yeah.
Turkey, ham. She would have neck bones, and invariably there would always be fried chicken. I mean, I don't know why, but, you know.
What do you mean you don't know why?
You know, it's and then potato salad, macaroni and cheese, green beans, collard greens.
And she
where?
And
desserts. Where?
Yeah, where'd it come from?
Did it come from?
So, and how many people, roughly?
Sometimes it'd kind of be a moving thing all day long.
Yeah.
People would come in and out. My family, you know, because her sister and niece lived near her, so, and they had a big family. So they would just, people would just come in and out all day long,
yeah.
And there'd always be food.
Now, Vivian, you grew up in D.C., right?
Yes.
What was it like for you?
Well, I'm the youngest of six, so my mom would cook way too much food as well. And she was also checking the weather because there was no way to put all of that in the refrigerator.
No.
And there was no refrigerator downstairs in the basement or anything. So there was aluminum tin cans, and she would have a special one that she'd have on the back porch. It was always clean. You never put garbage in it, and it had a good lid on it. And fortunately in D.C. back when I was small, before global warming, it was cold enough that you could do that. And so there would be any number of side dishes out there waiting. But my mom would cook turkey and ham, and there'd be some kind of roast, whether it was a pork or beef, but there was some kind of roast. And, you know, it was that magical time where everyone's favorite food was on the table. Everyone. And then also, you know, Brussels sprouts, that was at no one's favorite food at that point. It is, you know, I love it now, but then
yeah.
It was like no one's favorite food, and I don't know why she would cook it.
That's what I do.
But she
it's
would
what
cook,
I do.
She would cook for 2 days, and,
yeah.
You know, Thanksgiving morning, I remember you, no matter what time you woke up to go to the bathroom or whatever, it would be black outside, and you could hear her stirring in the kitchen. It might be 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's why Brussels sprouts are what I do 3 o'clock Wednesday morning. That's every Thanksgiving I do. Do you remember it being stressful? Well, like, was it fun for you? And did you have any sense that it was stressful for the people who had to put this on?
It was exhausting for her. And from my earliest memories, I remember she just didn't sleep. But she didn't eat either. Stephanie's the same way. Like, she'll cook all day, but she won't eat until everything is done and the food is being put away. And she might fix a plate then.
How about you, Stephanie? What's your memory of experiencing it as a young girl, but also your sense of whether, you know?
You know, you have all this food for, and there's nothing to eat. You can't eat any of the food. Oh, no, you can't have that. That's for Thanksgiving. Oh, you can't have, well, so for 2 days before, I remember eating peanut butter and jelly a lot.
Because you don't want leftovers because there's no room in the refrigerator.
There's no food, you know.
And she wasn't, my mom wasn't cooking anything other than Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving,
so
yeah.
It's like that was the only time we had some kind of carry out or hot dogs or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner or something like that, because there was no there was a refrigerator full of food and there was absolutely nothing you could consume.
So maybe those Brussels sprouts start looking good by Thursday. I don't know. Stephanie, what about now? You then had to take over the cooking. What was that like for you?
Stressful. Thanksgiving is not my favorite holiday because it people always have this preconceived notion of what it's supposed to be like. And I keep trying not to make a lot of food. And I keep being forced from sheer habit and tradition to make a lot of food. It doesn't make sense to me to have that many meats, that many sides, and that many desserts. It's not, from a chef's point of view, it's not cohesive. It doesn't make sense. But I have to do it. Except for this year, I'm not doing it. I've hung up my little turkey baster. You know, I'm going to somebody else's house for dinner because it's like, it's just too much stress.
Well, how's the family feel about it? Okay, I respect that. But now how's the family feel?
I don't care. No. I mean, we've all, like, their families extended and, you know, my brothers have grandkids. And so they're creating a different tradition. Since my mom and grandmother have passed, I'm not quite that connected to the whole process of cooking and preparing foods, because I did it because they couldn't do it anymore. So I wanted to maintain that, to keep them in the loop of things, even though, you know, my mom had Alzheimer's and my grandmother was bedridden. I just wanted to have that tradition to continue. And with some time passing, I don't feel that connection anymore, and I really don't feel like cooking.
Well, now talk about that first one, because I know it didn't turn out all that well the first time you took over, right?
Well, yeah, it was like maybe 15, 17 years ago.
So my first turkey,
I thought I'd gotten all the stuff out of it, you know, that little bag thing. I put it in the oven, I cooked it. And we were carving it. My grandmother and my mom were in the living room, and I found this bag. It's like, whoops.
You know what?
They had it hidden.
It wasn't hidden. There's always two. There's a little thing in the neck cavity, and then there's the bigger bag in the body cavity.
I missed that.
She went to the body cavity, but she did not go to the neck cavity. Because you don't stuff in the neck cavity.
Right.
You only stuff in the body cavity. And you know you're not supposed to do like this tremendous washing to the turkey, because that just puts germs all over your kitchen. So you want to maintain it, and, well, that was her little hiccup. But we recovered from it.
I just said, don't tell anybody. Take it out, put it in the trash can. It's well seasoned.
I hate to tell you told somebody.
Did not tell.
You just did.
You just told a couple of people.
Oh.
You just told a couple of people.
Don't tell anybody.
No, you learn, and this is how you become a chef.
I mean, you learn.
This is how it happens. You learn these things. By the way, I've done it too, and they come out good.
Yeah, I mean, the turkey, nobody's said anything. I mean, you can tell by the taste, so.
Well, how about you, Vivian? Do you cook at all? Do you do Thanksgiving dinners, and have you had your own disasters?
I can cook, yeah, a little bit. Not in a professional way, but I've only cooked Thanksgiving one time. Stephanie, we were living out in Arizona, and Stephanie had to work, so she was cooking all day for a country club she was working at, and we were thousands of miles away from all family, so it's like, you know, we still have to have Thanksgiving. So I cooked the full Thanksgiving, turkey and all. Turkey was a little dry, but it was pretty. But it was a little dry. And we had all the fixings, but it really was, we had leftovers, but it was more of a meal for two, except for the turkey, because I don't care how small a turkey you get. It's just not, it's more than enough. But we had fun, but I grew up with really big dinners and lots of people, and even though Stephanie and I's people were different, my mom and my dad, they were just, with six you know, six kids, and you put two aunts and an uncle and a cousin, and you've got 20 people in a house, and then there's more, and everybody's friend came by. Mm. And my mom was the best kind of cook. I mean, she really, there was nothing you could put in front of her she couldn't cook. Yeah. But so it was nice, and I like small and intimate, but I also like those huge where there's not enough room and everyone's squeezed in, and then you just collapse and, you know, food heaven afterwards.
My favorite memory, actually, of Thanksgiving, honestly, this is, I don't know if it's my favorite. It's not my favorite. It is simply the most vivid, and that's when all the men would go, this is my uncle, I'm a little guy now, and they would all go into the living room. And then the women would all go and do the dishes. That's how that happened. The kitchen was steaming now from the hot water. So that place, and they were working and talking, and you could see these women, they're working hard, and the steam is going. And the guys are sitting in these chairs, leaning back, and all of their belts are open. This is the sad memory to have, really, is your only memory of Thanksgiving, but it's my memory, and it's so vivid. These guys are, and I think they talked about taxes. I don't know. They didn't talk. They just slept while women were. That's my memory.
But now it's football.
Yeah, and that's right. That was just kind of on the threshold before they were actually doing football games on Thanksgiving. Well, let's do some tips. We've asked our audience here at Triad Stage for questions they have for you, tips to make things either less stressful or more tasty or a little of both. But here's one. This one is making the rounds on social media. I think it's a prank, but I need you to weigh in on this. How do we microwave a turkey?
Why would you want to do this?
No, you just don't.
But you can. I think you can. I mean, I was reading about this prank, but you can actually microwave a turkey. Not a big one, because most microwaves aren't really that big. But from the turkey gods, Butterball, they say you can do it. It'll take about, for a 12-pound turkey, take about 2 hours. Why not just put it in the oven? Why would you just not put it in the oven?
This is the thing about Thanksgiving. I mean, really, you put the turkey in the oven. This is not a hard thing.
It's not.
We're putting a turkey in the
oven. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's that generation that wants things fast. But it's not fast.
It's not fast.
If it's, you know, 2 hours.
No. Okay, here we go. Which do you prefer, standard green bean casserole with soup, or do you make your base from scratch? The cream soups and your green bean casserole. You can use like cream of mushroom.
I have never ever made. I've used a can. I've never used a can.
Never used a box of anything or a can of anything.
One, I'm way too cheap for it. So I think it's easier just to make it from scratch. You don't really need. It's just thickened liquid, flavorful liquid. You know, saute some mushrooms, add some flour. Put a little liquid in it, throw the green beans in, stick it in the oven, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds real easy for someone that cooks. But for those folks who that concept is just slightly beyond them, but they want to do something, I think mushroom soup is a good thing.
It works. My grandmother used it, actually. My grandmother always had cream of mushroom soup and cream of celery soup.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite sure what she did with it. But it was always there, especially at Thanksgiving. She put it in something.
You dump it over the green beans and throw it in the oven.
See, we didn't have green bean casserole.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not quite sure what she did with it, but it was always there.
I like the little, in those Campbell soups, the fun part was the part that didn't really get thoroughly mixed, so there'd be like this bilious mass that hadn't quite gotten beaten into the soup, and you'd kind of mush it down with your tongue. It's my favorite part of cream mushroom soup. I don't know why. So it's the guys with no pants and clouds of goo in your cream of mushroom soup. This guy is sick. Turkey, fried or baked or roasted?
I like to bake the turkey. I fried a turkey, two turkeys, badly.
Very badly.
Yeah. I did it when I was writing, Soul Food Odyssey. is a cookbook. And so I tried to fry a turkey. I bought the turkey fryer, and it was, you know, I followed the instructions. I did the YouTube video, and I followed the instructions, and, you know, I was afraid the entire time because it's, oh, my God. It's going to fall over. I'm going to cause a fire, you know. Then so I bought another turkey and I went down to the restaurant to fry it in our big fryer. Bad idea. I burnt myself a lot. It didn't quite fit. It stayed in too long because I just like I walked away and I left it in there and I actually kind of burned it a little bit. The one in the turkey fryer was okay, and I like the crispness of the fried turkey, mm-hmm. but yeah. I miss the smell in the house of the turkey.
Yeah.
And you can actually get the same result of that crisp skin if you just turn your heat up in the beginning. And then, you know, make oil, you know, and, yeah. and then turn it back down and finish it. So you got a crispy outside and a nice moist inside. But the whole frying turkey, I don't know.
Well, here, let me ask you more about the crispy skin, because I have a pretty good reputation for my turkeys. They come out really moist. I do that breast and it folds. Doesn't break, it folds. Beautiful turkey. However, the price for that is the skin is not crispy. I actually broast it. I take it, I seal it. And I put it in a pan, like a roasting pan with water in there, and then seal it in aluminum so nothing can come out. I'm done in half the time. And it just, the joints just fall apart. It's beautiful, but it's soggy. And I'm thinking, could I possibly, at the last 15 minutes without drying it out,
turn it up
and brown that skin?
And baste it,
yeah.
you know, with its juices. Not if you do it, either do it in the beginning or do it in the end. But if you do it at the end, it's already, you know, just turn
the
heat up.
I'm going to give it a try.
And just let it brown.
This year's the year. let me talk about some other things. I know you've got lots of things to talk about, but it's exciting for you because you got a new business developments 2017. You moved your space, and now you've got a new restaurant. Talk to us about, first about moving, and then about your new restaurant.
Yeah, moving was, we've been in the same space for 14 years. And this small space, it was like, a little smaller than this. So we had like 13 tables, and people kind of got tired of being on a wait for like 2 hour wait is too much. So we found a space like a block north of where we are, which is where we moved last year.
Last year.
And it's been an interesting thing it's like moving into a big house. It takes you a while to get used to all the space, and I'm still looking for stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then because the space is so large, we couldn't use it all for sweet potatoes, and it gave us the opportunity to do something that I wanted to do, which was Miss Ora's Kitchen, which was kind of in honor of my grandmother, and I guess grandmothers like her. The whole concept of pan frying chicken is different than if you deep fry, which we do at sweet potatoes, but so. We pan fried chicken at Miss Ora's, and I was a little bit afraid of trying to keep up with the volume, mm-hmm. but it seems to be working. But the space is just big enough, and it looks like kind of reminiscent of.
It kind of feels like your grandmother's kitchen,
mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yes. Great stuff. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. And Stephanie Tyson is the chef and co-owner of Sweet Potatoes Restaurant in Winston-Salem. Vivian Joyner is hostess, co-owner of that restaurant. They recently opened Miss Ora's Kitchen as well. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Just ahead, the Burlington Boys Choir. It is the longest-running boys choir in the state of North Carolina, and we're going to give you a sneak preview right here. Here's the Burlington Boys Choir, directed by Bill Allred and accompanied by Andre Lash.
Be so sad since our Redeemer made us. see.